Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
We were talking the other day and everybody was like, you know, it's kind of crazy that somebody'd say that we were overnight success because they didn't see the first 10 years of it, you know.
Episode 448, Coe Wetzel. I took a picture from sitting with Coe when we were recording this, I don't know, a few weeks ago.
Yep.
You talk about hardcore fans. They're all like, where's the episode? Well, first one, like, hey, when's this going to be posted? Two, hey, you going to post that Coe Wetzel? To like, you better post a Coe Wetzel or I'm going to come and burn your house down.
Like we were refusing to post something.
We were holding it hostage. No. In due time, friends. Coe Wetzel just released a new song. He's releasing a lot of new music this spring. I was looking at his ticket sales, about 300,000 tickets so far on this tour. I mean, the guy's has blown up in a way of the organic growth guys, if that makes sense. Like on the road, grinding, and then one little something hits and it grows. And the guy is, I won't say underground because now he's like blown up, but he's one of those guys that he has a passionate, large fan base that maybe mainstream hasn't fully been introduced to yet. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, definitely. That's why everybody was hitting us up so much.
Yeah, like his people are hardcore. But now his people are also starting to be normal people because his music is starting to be shared by like the mainstream outlets. I like Coe. I mean, listen. One of those guys where I thought, really, if this turns into a bar fight in my house, I don't even have a bar, but it's not going to look good for me.
I think that's what we're ready for.
Somebody had told us that. I think that's what it was. Like, Coe Wetzel's coming over. Be careful.
He got here early.
Everything about him was
super
right.
Nice.
Yep, nicest guy. Yeah, I was expecting him to, like, spit on me halfway through the interview before he got to the house. But then he was, like, nice and polite and super thoughtful. But here he is, and I hope that doesn't kill, like, his image.
Yeah.
It was polite and thoughtful. You can follow him on Instagram, Coe Wetzel, K-O-E underscore W-E-T-Z-E-L. What I didn't ask him is if he owns any of the pretzel company.
Wetzel's Pretzels?
Didn't think about that. Only thought about that right now. Dang, missed that question. CoeWetzelMusic.com. And here we go. Here is Coe Wetzel. Coe, good to meet you, man.
Great to meet you.
It's the first time we met, right? I would think so. I think I would remember you. You get kind of a large presence. You come in a room. It's like big dude.
People don't expect it when they hear my voice. Kind of like.
What do you mean?
That like was just like, damn, you're kind of a big dude. Like, didn't expect that coming out of you.
There's a guy on my radio show who has a massive, deep voice, but he's like Doug Funny. Like, he just doesn't look like he would sound. So people think he's like a large black man until they meet him, and he's like a skinny little white dude. Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to meet you. Also, like somebody who's like a football player, or like you were, same kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like you're singing and you. And then it's like, yeah, I played linebacker, buddy.
Everybody's, they're really confused. They're like, wait, hold on. You played football, you sing. It's like, and the voice doesn't match up with looking at you now. I'm like, oh, well, you get what you see what you get.
Yeah, yeah. What's, in high school, pretty good athlete?
was decent. Enough to get a scholarship, I guess.
But that's really good, right? Like, they don't just pass out scholarships.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I had a lot of friends that walked on places that were really good.
Yeah.
So if you're getting a scholarship, like, what'd you play? A linebacker in high school?
Yeah, I played linebacker in high school. Yeah, I started all 4 years. And
in high school, as a ninth grader you started?
Yeah, as a freshman. Oh. Yeah. I played stand-up in as a freshman, then moved to linebacker. So,
How big was the school you went to?
We were 3A, so, I mean, I graduated with like 130 kids.
Way bigger than, I mean, I'm from a tiny school.
Nice. Where are you from?
Mountain Pine, Arkansas. Nice. So I graduated with 40 kids.
Nice.
And we had a pretty good football team. We were the only school that, was a black school in our conference. Mm-hmm. So we were good, which made me even slower. Like, I was pretty fast, but then on my team, I was pretty slow.
Yeah.
Like, all those guys could fly, right?
Yeah.
So I was the white guy that could catch. Yeah. High motor, high energy guy, you know? But I wasn't the guy they would put out to return punts or anything.
Yeah. You're not going to be a running back.
Yeah, no. And if I was, you know, and I played, I guess, not so wide, but I played receiver, but it was more like a slot back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like going across the middle, but I would because I wasn't fast enough to, you know, run goes all game long. You have any big injuries in high school?
Just like ankles and like minor knee stuff.
Still hurt you now at all as an adult?
If a storm's coming, yeah, a little bit. I had surgery on my ankle in college, and I had like some pins and stuff put in my ankle. Now I can feel when a thunderstorm's coming, you know.
I have broken fingers from playing ball, not just football, but other ones. But when it's my hair curls up and my freaking fingers start just feel throbbing, man, just killing me.
Yeah.
And, you know, animals can like, it's not like it's predicting, but they can feel when storms are coming.
Yeah, for sure.
But so their bodies must have
something
similar things to when our stuff's broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it starts to like ache and stuff. I hurt we do a sports show. We travel around the country and we play, like we did Kansas State. We did South Carolina football. We did a lot of the SEC Big 12 schools and we put on pads and play.
Yeah.
I'm older, so we don't really get hit, but we run drills. We do all this. But we went and played softball with Oklahoma State and baseball with Oklahoma State, and I hurt my ankle, and it's just not healing.
Yeah.
And that's probably getting older. I don't know how old you are.
Yeah, I'm 31.
Okay, you're old enough now for it to last
longer. I feel like I'm 58, though.
Well, you played college sports, too, for a while, so it's even, like, your physical age is even older than that.
Absolutely.
But nothing heals on me.
No. Sam, I sprained my knee, actually, like, 2 days ago, just drunk whiskey dent or whatever, and kind of woke up. I was like, damn, I got Bobby Bones coming up this week. Like, hope I can walk in here and not have a brace on.
But obviously, you didn't just sprain it because you were drunk. What were you doing while drunk?
I mean, I was fighting, so yeah. So, like, it was so kind of a... yeah,
like, fighting.
Yeah, me and my buddies, we get drunk, just fight each other, I guess. Everything's good the next morning, but it's kind of like, at the time, it's just a lot of testosterone and just get drunk.
When that happens... is it always because someone's disrespecting somebody or there's a feeling of some sort of
disrespect? It's like a lot of built up energy and a lot of built up shit. And then we all get it out.
Yeah.
And then we throw down and then we hug on each other, love on each other. And next morning, like, man, that was a wild night. You know, we got a black eye or a busted knee, you know. And
what's wrong with you?
I don't know, dude.
Like, I would think just physically.
There's a lot wrong with me, Bobby.
No, I mean, a lot wrong with me too, yeah. But I have never been punched in the face.
Really?
I take that back. I've been attacked. I've been jumped. I've been pistol whipped. I've been held at gunpoint. Yeah. Like that stuff. But I've never been punched. And
it's not as bad as you think. Like in your mind, that's the worst part of like fights.
It sounds like you're going to fight every third day though.
Nah,
so
it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
But I feel like if I were in a fight and I've trained to, I mean, I've boxed.
Yeah.
And that hurts when you get hit.
Yeah.
I can't imagine without a glove. And I also can't imagine my hand. I start to think if I'm going to hit somebody, how bad that's going to hurt my freaking hand. Yeah. And that's not worth it either.
Yeah. Well, you wake up the next morning and you're kind of like, damn, man, my head hurts. And then it's like, was it because of the whiskey? It was because, you know, what happened? And then you start figuring out you got like little scabs and knees and ankles and
yeah, that life ain't
bruises,
for me.
Man.
That life ain't for me. And it's going to not be for you either for too much longer.
I know. That's
I can tell you.
I think I have probably two really good fights in me left. And then that's probably it. But maybe.
I don't have two in me for life.
That I'm saving up. Like, I can do a little, you know, a little sparring or something.
So are you usually on the bus, on the road when you're getting drunk?
Home? Not so much at home. At home, I'm usually pretty even keel.
At home, you're probably not just bored.
No. Whenever I'm at home, I'm usually resting or, you know, doing stuff that's not as intense, but whenever you're on the road and you have a lot of off days and me and the guys, you know, we'll go out to the bar and it's just kind of week long, just drunk benders, I guess.
I don't know. I'm going to nod, but I like you telling me because I can't relate. Yeah. I can't relate. I come from a family of crazy drug addiction. I would love to do all the drugs. I'd love to drink all the alcohol. I've never had a drink and I can't do drugs because I get obsessed with everything that I do.
Yeah.
But luckily I've been able to recognize that. My mom died, don't know my dad. I'm not giving you that story, but what I'm saying is that if I were that, I would be, you just wouldn't be as big. So I'd probably be dead and beat up like crazy.
Yeah.
Cause I don't even know what it's like to be drunk.
Really? That's crazy. Yeah, I've been drinking for a while.
Yeah.
I need to slow down. I actually did slow down. I did like dry January, but I only made it to like
the third.
The 21st season, dude. Like the 21st. And so, but yeah, those 21 days, I felt great. Really good.
And my point is, I don't have any sort of, I can't relate to that part of it. However, like I put my mom in rehab a couple times, and we had, you know, before she died, and that was always tough. But I couldn't relate because she would. Like, I can't do it. You know, I can't get it, whatever it was, meth or whatever. Yeah. And I wouldn't understand. I understood that I wanted to do that stuff, but couldn't. But I wouldn't understand the withdrawal part. And then I got kind of dependent on sleeping pills because I had a lot of PTSD. I got jumped at work. And then I understood a bit about, oh, I see why. It's hard. If you really have a hard problem, it's hard to get off because the withdrawals are, to me, and I was just on sleeping pills. Yeah. It was crazy. Like the sweats, I couldn't see straight, et cetera.
Yeah.
And you'll see where I'm going here. And then I would read stories about in the 90s and 2000s, these alternative bands, and they'd be doing heroin like crazy. And I would go like, "What? Why heroin?" And then they'd be like, "It's like a hug. It's like a," and I'd be like, "Got it." But then I would go and tour doing stand up or a bit of music. And it was so boring on the road. And it's the only time I've ever went, "Oh, I get it. I'll be doing every drug on the road to get back
just
to your point,
yeah.
Just because it's mundane. It's you're trapped in a bus. You're in places you don't know.
Yeah.
You're not home.
Yeah. I'm not going to see the family and nothing like that.
Yeah, I finally understood why artists in general would be on the road and have a lot of friends that would just go out and just stay drunk for four, five, 6 days. And I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah. And in not a funny way, like, what else is there to do? You just freaking got to find something to
bored,
do. Yeah. And so, but you're 31 and we need to probably
slow it down.
Lean out just a little bit.
Hey, I'm telling you, I've slowed down so much and people, they're like, you know, Cole, we're so happy. We're so proud of you, you know, because I have in my younger 20s, in and out of jail and stuff, you know, it was crazy. I was out of hand. I was out of control. And every now and then I'll cut loose and still, you know, still go back to those days. Not as bad, but I've slowed down a whole lot, you know. And
are you thankful, though, that it didn't end up? Because there were probably a couple times, and for me in different ways. Like I got sued for $1 million. I've had issues where career-wise, I mean, if it goes 1% an opposite direction, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
And I'm just very grateful for a few of those times. Were there any of those instances where you're like, God dang, I was an idiot, and I'm so lucky to get through that because I wouldn't be here if somebody didn't vouch for me or...
Yeah, sure. Well, there's a couple times I woke up in jail and didn't know why I was there, and that was the worst part.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind of, whenever you're in a cement room and you're the only one in there and they won't tell you what's going on, you kind of start to reflect a little bit.
You didn't know what it was.
No, huh? And the first time I got picked up, it was, hell, I was in there for, I don't know, this is how bad it was. I was so drunk that 24 hours after they picked me up, they come to do all the fingers and stuff. And
No, I don't know. I'm just going,
I
don't know. Yeah.
Well, they tried to get all my fingers and I still couldn't remember my social security number.
What do you mean fingers? They pick,
like the fingerprints. Yeah.
Fingerprints. Got it.
And I still couldn't remember my social security number. And they were like, this is crazy. So they put me back in for 24 more hours. And finally the judge showed up at like, he was supposed to be there at like 9 that morning. And he didn't show up till like 3 the next day. And so he was like, man, it was just a PI, you know, here's your charge or whatever. And I got out, but calling my pops then, you know, he was like, you know, the only time I was ever disappointed in you is if you got picked up or went to jail, you know? And he goes, now you got to kind of step back and take a look at it. You know, that could have been a whole lot worse. So if you could have woke up and, you know, killed somebody or, you know, drunk driving or something like that, you know? So maybe it's time to grow up a little bit.
Do you worry though, and this is that your brand is so much what's up? I'm Co. I go hard. That if you go a little less hard, maybe the people that loved you for going hard because they related to that won't love you the same amount.
Not really. My fans are diehard. Honestly, man, they're super loyal. You know, they get my music. They get what I'm writing and playing music for. So I don't think. I mean, there would definitely be a couple of them that were like, "Oh, you know, he doesn't want to drink tonight or some shit." I'm sure. But
what if you just said, "I'm sober. I'm not drinking. I'm done."
I don't think it would be as bad.
They'll be like, "Coach, selling out."
No, I don't think so.
I have a couple friends. I'm not gonna say who they are, but you know, they definitely went hard. We're known for going hard, and they kind of still have to fake it a little bit because it's part of the entertainment part of their brand, and they've slowly started. They also became parents.
Yeah.
And they also
just growing up.
Yeah, growing up,
you know, like the music that I was making back then whenever I was going super hard, and what I'm kind of known for today is that was it. You know, that music was party your ass off, you know, go to jail, you know, do all that shit. So
it's a brand.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And now, you know, going into the newer music, it's kind of taking a little shift, a little turn. And I think people are going to stick with it and enjoy it just as much as they did the old shit.
Just to watch your growth, your organic growth. It's really one of those stories that you would like for a lot of other artists to chase, because it is we're talking about The Trouble. That's just when people, I think, first learn about you, like, that dude's crazy, right? And then they get into who you are and what you're singing about, and they discover that next layer, or at least I did. Yeah. That's kind of how I learned about you. But the way that you did it very organically is what you would like a lot of artists to do. However, it probably looks a little more glamorous once you have the success than at the beginning stages when people are like, oh, I don't know if that's like you had to kind of kick a hole in the wall to get let in the room.
Absolutely.
And that's fun to say now because you're here, you got billions of streams, but that crap's tough at first, right?
It is, man. Coming up in Texas, it was all we knew was, you know, you get on the road, you beat the road up, you play shows everywhere, and that's how you gain fans, you know. Internet was still, I mean, kind of in that Twitter, Instagram stage to where people were posting, but it wasn't, you weren't gaining all your fans off of, you know, TikTok and stuff more like today. And so it was just beat the road up, you know, every time you go back, there'd be a couple more fans. And then it kind of got to where we had a big enough following that whenever we dropped Noise Complaint, that people were just like, holy shit, you know, they're not a cover band anymore. They're making real music, so.
I was looking at some of the data for like the Road to El Paso tour, and it was like almost 300,000 tickets. Yeah. That's all. When you can sell any sort of hard ticket at first, right? You're not going to just a club and it's like, you know, this place holds 500, we'll see what show. But if you're selling hard tickets and you have a history with hard tickets, like that's success now more than anything else is being able to go out and sell hard tickets because your guarantees are higher. Mm-hmm. Life gets a little easier because then you get a nicer bus. Like you get to live a little nicer.
Absolutely.
When did that happen for you where you knew people were going to be at a show if you put it on?
Probably around Harold So High. We put out Harold So High. So the album after Noise Complaint. So 18, 19 maybe, right before COVID hit. It was kind of, we were kind of hitting that, you know, like you said, everywhere we went, it's pretty much sold out. Damn near anywhere in the U.S. I mean, we weren't playing huge places, but you know, 2,500, 3,000 cap, and we were selling out everywhere.
Yeah, but that's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. And then COVID hits, and we're out from playing for 2 years.
Because I'll say it one more time. It's not like you had a massive record company pushing your songs to radio, and they were played all over the country and all this. Like, you organically built this
base. Yeah, it was all us.
Yeah.
And that was just us going around and playing venues all over the country, you know, so.
You get lost at times on where you were?
No, not really.
Not saying the wrong city, because whatever, but like, 3-4 shows.
Are you talking about like where we're like when
like
we
literally where you were?
Oh yeah,
like
absolutely.
You'd be on stage, and be like, God, where? Like you'd have to ask somebody, or you had to look down.
Well, like, can we, you just show up at a show, like you come out of the bush, like where the hell are we today? Type shit. Yeah.
Did you do the, or do you have the thing happen to you where your friends go? Because this will happen to me some. Man, you go everywhere. It's so cool to see all these places, and I'm like, I see the back doors of theaters. Like I sleep, and then I get up, I can see the back door of the theater. I might go back to sleep in the hotel room, and that's it. It's not like I'm in Boston checking out the Sam Adams factory. It's hard to be a tourist when you're working.
And as the tour goes on, you get more wore out, you get more tired. So the days become shorter. You know, you're you're up till, you know, you don't get off stage till
you're fighting all night, yeah, too. Drinking whiskey and fighting all night. Takes up much
time. You know, I mean, well, hell, you play till midnight. You know, you get done at midnight. You know, you cool down for another hour, so it's 1 o'clock. You go out, you drink till 2 with bar closed, and then, you know, like you said, you're fighting or doing whatever till 3 or 4 in the morning, not going to sleep till 5, and then you're waking up around lunch, sound check, probably going back, taking another nap, waking up, going to dinner, meet and greet, show, and yeah. And all over again.
The pre-show is actually hours long because, again, you have a sound check, probably a meet and greet. You got, and then it's not like there's a gap big enough to do anything. Yeah. If there is a gap, it's like 40 minutes, and you can't really go and do anything in 40 minutes and come back. So, yeah, it's a grind, especially looking at how you would travel and tour. And people could look at you now and be like, man, Ko's got it made. Like, he's killing it. But it's like,
but they don't see the back side of it.
Yeah, they didn't see all the early part of it. It was just a constant grind.
But we were talking the other day, and everybody was like, you know, it's kind of crazy that somebody would say that we were overnight success because they didn't see the first 10 years of it, you know. And, you know, we started in 2011, 2012 playing college parties and, you know, whatever we could for free beer, you know. And so, you know, nobody saw that come up.
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
And we're back on the Bobbycast.
What's Pittsburgh, Texas like?
Very small. Very small town vibe. East Texas vibe. Country as hell.
What's, well, we would go to town. which meant we went to Hot Springs, which is like the city. I think Pittsburgh has like Walmarts and stuff though, right? Doesn't it?
No.
It doesn't have Walmart? No. Town then for you? If you guys were going to go to town? Or?
Pittsburgh has like a Brookshire Brothers. Yeah. It has like a grocery store and stuff. But if we were to go to like a city though, it'd be Texarkana or Longview or Tyler. So
where would concerts come that were ones that would be national or acts?
Probably like Longview, Tyler, and Texarkana.
How far was Texarkana from you?
Probably 45 minutes, an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Nah, it wasn't too bad.
I always hated the Arklatex.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Arkansas.
Well, everything's so, everything's all right so there. Compact.
And you're crossing state lines like crazy all in that area.
What state am I in right now?
We're like, you're in Arklatex. I can tell you. I studied the 50 states. Arklatex is not one of the states.
But people around there, don't say that to them.
I will, though, because I'm from Arkansas, so I can.
Yeah, you
if
can.
I'm from a different place, I might not. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, growing up, are your parents still alive right now?
They are.
Okay. Are they still together?
They are.
Are you close to them?
I am.
Okay. But what was home like with your parents? And were they musical? I know you have a bit of background, but tell everybody that doesn't know you what that's about.
Yeah. So growing up, I mean, they were young parents. They had me, I think they got married at 19, had me at 20. So, I mean, they were young parents. And, you know, I mean, there's always a fight going on, whatever. You know, I couldn't imagine raising a kid that young. But I had a great childhood coming up. My mom, she was a bank teller and an accountant for the school, and she would go around to old Opry houses and play music. So I was always around music on that
side.
She
sang, though, right?
She sang, yeah. She just sang. And then on my dad's side, you know, they were all Southern Baptists and stuff. So Sunday church, you know, go sing in the choir and all stuff like that. Just grew up, like I said, going back to my mom's side, I grew up in old Opry houses, and I don't even know if they have Opry houses anymore. Like,
I haven't seen them.
But even back in the 90s, it was like old folks that came to it. And I was that little shithead kid that was just like running up and down the aisles because I'd go with my mom and like nobody would look after me. So I was stealing popcorn from old people and shit. And my mom be up there singing Tammy Wynette, you know, and stuff like that. So
did you think it was cool that your mom was singing?
I love the sound of a live band because I always practice like tapes and stuff and always listen to her. So whenever I got to hear her with a live band, I loved sound of the drums and an old Telecaster, dude. It blew my mind.
Do you think that your interest in music a bit was to pursue a connection with your mom? She did it. And even if you can't go, yeah, for sure. But when you think about it, do you think?
A little bit, yeah, because I think she kind of lives vicariously through me now, you know, a little bit. Because she loves coming to the shows. She loves everything about it. You know, she's fully invested. So whenever she gets to come, it's always great. She's more the star of the show than I am.
You ever let her up on stage? She ever sing with you?
So we haven't yet. She wants to cut a song with me, and I need to do
it. That's awesome.
Yeah, we should do that. But
dude, that would be
awesome.
That's the cool, because you are so, you just do not care. It's an awesome thing about you. You just do not care. And then doing something with your mom is like, so the opposite of what you are, that also shows you just don't care what anybody thinks. And like, you just love what you love.
Yeah.
Man, the right song. Man, you let me know when you do that.
Right, I will.
I don't even care what it is. As long as it's not like, here we are, mom and son banging.
Yeah.
It can't be anything like that.
A little Kid Rock.
Yeah, let me know. I'll play it. Like, because I can't imagine your mom's going to be on something that's like crazy hard.
Yeah. No, it'll be, I don't know what it'll be. She wants to, so maybe we'll make it happen.
I vote yes 100 times. Because who has done that? Mike, can you think of anybody that sang a song with their mom?
Nothing comes to mind.
That they weren't putting their mom on a record because their mom is famous.
Honestly, I don't even think, I mean, we've been on stage together, but I don't think we've actually.
The mom angle works so good with you because, again, you're not the guy that people associate being a mom and boy.
Like, yeah, for sure.
So it's almost even more of what you stand for. Like, you do not care. You're just going to do you, period.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what the song is, but it's a hit. It's a number one song. I'm declaring it.
Let's do it.
That's cool. Yeah, tell your mom I said what up.
I'll call her after this.
Yeah, she still lives same?
Yeah, she lives in Pittsburgh.
Same house?
Same house. Not the same house. We moved. They built a house whenever I was like 12.
Whenever you released Sell Out, as I felt like it was obviously the name of record, but it was also kind of a message to folks. Metallica, and I don't know, I was not really a Metallica fan. They were a little before me, but I remember people said, Metallica, you're a sellout. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, we sell out every freaking show.
Yeah.
And so I got a bit of that vibe whenever I saw that's what it was, because you're still doing things exactly like you were doing them. It's just now, hey, let's use other people's money a little bit because they believe that they're... you know, like I got it, but do you feel like some of your people didn't?
Yeah, a lot of them didn't actually. But for the people who didn't get it, we gained a lot more people who did get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of evened everything out. And it took us from us being kind of those road bandits that didn't give a shit to actually caring a lot more and realizing that, man, this is on a bigger scale than just Texas bars and places that we've been playing.
And so it wasn't like it was affecting your art.
No, it wasn't.
If anything, it was helping your art. Sure. Because you didn't have to spend as much time just straight struggle, and you had good advice to do. Because if they hadn't believed, if they didn't believe in what you were doing to begin with, they wouldn't have put any money into you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't like they were putting a boy band together.
Yeah, and I think whenever we, you know, with the skits and everything, it was kind of a, it was a very ballsy move on my end, and I didn't really know how to go about it. So I just told them, I was like, hey, y'all don't take this the wrong way, but here's the skits and stuff. Like, oh, we love it.
You know? They know who they signed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the reason I signed with Columbia is because, you know, I talked to a lot of other labels and stuff, and Columbia were like, hey, we know what you're doing. We don't want to change anything. We want you to be you. And I was like, awesome. So, and they did. They let us do whatever we wanted to. Still to this day.
How often are you here in town, Nashville?
We're here probably 10 times a year, maybe just in and out.
And so when you do come, it's actually for a reason, like you're coming to meet
or
age or just something that the business related part of it.
Yeah.
How do you like this town?
I love Nashville.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I think if you lived here, you wouldn't.
But Nashville is becoming like a Vegas for me. It's like a three night town. More than three nights. No, I don't think I can do it.
Yep. Same for me. And I live here more than three nights. I'm like, I'm over. Hate it. They're great humans here.
There is.
Really but don't. I was talking to, Cody. Boom. Yeah. Cody and I just met a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Cody because Cody's like Florida moving around. And we were talking about Nashville. And I was like, man, I can see why people that make it leave because they have the resources to go and say, like, I'm not going to stay here. But it's amazing. The people are amazing. But sometimes the industry, if you live in it, gets to be a bit toxic and like unhealthily competitive, but you're not competitive with anybody else, just yourself.
Yeah.
And it starts to like eat at you and it's stupid. And I hate it 90% of the time, except for like the people I know.
Yeah. And it's good to like, you know, I live in Texas still and, you know, I'm always going to be that Texas country kid, you know, but it's always good to come back to Nashville and see people that you haven't seen in, you know, 3 or 4 months, you know. And,
yeah, but it's probably like an in-law, like, good to see you again, bye.
Yeah.
Time to go.
Well, it's pretty much how it is here. It's like, hey, man, how you been? You know, let's have a couple drinks. All right, man, we'll see you later. Like,
you don't got to fight them, just a couple drinks. And...
Yeah, we're not fighting now.
Where are you living? Like, you have to say the small town if it's a small town, but I'm assuming it's not Pittsburgh.
So I grew up in Pittsburgh. I live in Weatherford. It's just like 45 minutes west of Fort Worth.
They proud of you in Weatherford? They know you live there?
I don't know, kind of. Yeah, Walmart after 5 can get a little crazy, but... That's why I do like DoorDash or whatever.
That's good.
A little grocery shopping.
Yeah, that's good. But you look like you.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to hide.
I know.
Who you are if they know who you are.
It's crazy. Just random ass dudes will come up and be like, man, I get told I look like you all the time. I'm like, God damn, I hope not. You know?
Yeah. I'm telling you, people will say, hey, do you know, you look like my cousin. Yeah. And they'll show me a picture of their cousin.
Nothing alike.
Well, if I do look like them, I'm judging myself completely wrong. Like, I don't think I'm a beauty queen. And I'm like, if you think I look like, or they'll tag me on Instagram. Hey, look, I'm here with this guy. Looks just like Bobby. And I'm like, he's 70, man. Yeah, so like I felt, but you couldn't even hide in a mask, really.
No.
Were a lot of artists here could put on a mask during COVID?
No.
If they did, like you couldn't get in a place without a mask?
Mm-hmm.
With your hair and like tattoos?
Yeah. In Texas, it's fun. I love it though. You know, like, I don't mind taking pictures and stuff, so it's cool.
No, yeah.
Let's enjoy it.
I agree.
It's part of it.
It's absolutely part of it, and it's awesome. The only rule that I would have that I tell people, and not for me because I'm grateful.
Mm.
I'm not that talented, so I feel like I've used a lot of tenacity to get this point, and so I'm never going to be the person to say, nah, nah, nah. But if people are with their kids or if people are with food in front of them.
Eating.
Those are the two places.
That's the worst.
Like if somebody's eating, you want a picture, just wait till they finish eating.
Yeah.
But don't go up when someone's at dinner. And I tell people all the time, if you see your favorite celebrity, they know they're a celebrity. They know they're in public.
Yeah.
But if they're eating, wait till it's over. Mm. Then you can do so.
Yeah, for sure.
The eating's tough.
Yeah, we were in Corpus Christi not too long ago. Or I guess towards the end of the tour. And a bunch of these high school kids came up. And a couple of them, you know, I didn't mind. And then it kept coming, And then towards the end, I was like, hey, listen, guys, let me just finish dinner, and then I'll meet y'all outside. We walked outside, and there's probably 100 of them out there. Just, I was like, all right, just one big group pick, and we got I got a meet and greet to go to. So let's just, but it all worked out.
Well, we were talking about when Sellout comes out, and Columbia knew what they were signing. That's why they wanted you. It wasn't like they were going to sign you, then change you. Mm-hmm. And so you had mentioned how they just let you be you. What about your peers in music that are still either Texas, Oklahoma, in that scene? When not your fans, but your peers, and maybe not even your friends, did any of them voice to you that they were, man, Ko, that sucks. You really let us down.
No, not really, man. Everybody's always been super supportive, especially in the music scene. Man, that music scene, Texas music scene is so, it's such a tight-knit family pretty much. So if anybody makes it out, it's more or less they're you know, cheering you on to go. Because the more that we get out and, you know, it's just helping the Texas music community out more, you know, sharing, you know, what we're putting out from Texas. So
who are your Texas OGs that you would see as a kid? And us living in Texas forever, too. For us, it was like Randy Rogers, Pat Green, OG.
Yeah, Randy Rogers, Wade Bowen, Whiskey Myers. They're East Texas boys, so I grew up watching them in high school. You know, Stoney LaRue, guys like that, a bunch of the Red Dirt guys in Oklahoma. So it was kind of, I mean, honestly, it was Red Dirt and Texas music all the way through, man. So,
did you listen to Turnpike at all growing up?
I did. I love Turnpike.
Yeah.
A lot of those bands, like the Damn Quills, Thieving Birds, probably bands that you're not more familiar with, but the smaller bands didn't really hit it as big, but had just phenomenal music, you know?
What's the difference then in them and you? And nobody specifically, but like, what's the difference in these?
I think there was a wave. There were certain waves that came through.
Like timing?
Yeah, just like whenever you had Randy and Wade and you had, you know, Pat Green and Jack Ingram, you know, those two different waves. You know, me and Parker and that wave that came through. And then after that, Giovanni and all those guys. So I think it was just they got caught in the middle of that wave maybe and it just didn't get as much love as it should have.
You and Parker cool?
Yeah. For sure, man.
I did not want to like that, dude.
Really?
I wanted it, because I obviously knew his music. And he wore, like, he's good looking. He's tall. He's got abs. He's got a gold chain. He was like, he's the flat brim. I wanted to not like the dude.
That's the sweetest human.
The greatest. He's awesome. Yeah. And the first time I met him, I told him, and he was also, like, so kind and polite.
Oh.
And he was like, I used to listen to your show. It's just like, I'm nervous. This is an honor. And I'm like, dude, you just run to everything I wanted to have and hold against you. And so I didn't know if you guys were cool because it's
we talk pretty much every day, man. He's it's really cool because it was fun to have somebody on the come up that was doing the same thing, you know, like because it's, I mean, being on the road and doing what we do, it's really hard to have somebody to talk to and be able to share that with. So it's good to have somebody like that.
And that experience that you guys have being Texas artists that have now achieved a level of success that have boosted you from just that title.
No.
Because now, I mean, but even Texas artists are known outside of Texas, but just for the sake of that title, there's not a lot of people that you could talk with about mainstream accepting you, because you weren't begging for mainstream to accept you, but mainstream going, hey, we like you enough, you should come on over here a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Parker's like the guy now in this generation. You get to Eli Young, you know, those guys could do it, but they're 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Pat Green, that's 20. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to have somebody like Parker, I would imagine. You're kind of going through it at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, the times are different, too. Like, it's not like it used to be when, like, you talk about Pat Green. Like, I feel like back then it was more or less you had to come to Nashville to get a label and all that stuff, you know? And nowadays, the way music is with streaming and everything, it's a lot more, you know, accepted. And I mean, it's just, it's easier to find music and people like that these days.
We were still living in Austin, and I remember Wave on Wave was a big hit, and it was a mainstream hit. Mm-hmm. And you could feel the sentiment, like, man, Pat's gone mainstream.
Yeah.
But then it kind of went away after it was just successful for a while. People don't, they're too lazy to be hateful for a long time.
Yeah, people, they can't hold grudges that damn long. Especially with Pat's music, man. Like, it's just timeless for, especially people from Texas, you know? I mean, people are never going to forget about it. He's one of the Texas greats.
Yes, he's like the governor of Texas music.
100%.
Yeah, you spend any time with him?
I do. We got to do a couple of hunts this year together. And me and him, we got pretty deep into music. And he's got some new stuff coming out, and I got some new music coming out. So we got to, you know, share some music and thoughts and laughed and cried and everything else.
That's cool.
It was cool because, I told him, you know, he's one of my heroes in the Texas Saints.
I was about to ask you who your heroes were.
Yeah, it was him being like, you know, it's really cool because I see a lot of myself in you, and I was at where you were at one point, and it's just really cool to see, you know, where you're at and what you're doing with the music. So,
are you having fun, or are you more anxious, like wondering how it's going to turn out?
I'm having a blast.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
Because it seems like that, but that can be hidden pretty well.
Yeah. I'm having a great time, and I have more fun whenever the tour starts, whenever I get back on the road. I've been off the road for like 3 or 4 months now, and I'm trying to bite my ear off, dude. I don't know what's going on. I'm
head coach.
It's almost like cabin fever almost.
Yeah. Head football coaches will have holdback guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the so let's say you're on the road and you're going to look. Who's your holdback guy that you would actually listen to if they're like, you're always out of control, but you're a little too out of control right now?
Oh, man, my boy Dre is always that guy, but it's kind of bad because most of the time he's almost on my level. So he's like holding me back, but he's also kind of like, I want to see how this turns out type shit. So.
But if he steps in and goes, you got to chill, do you listen?
No, not really. I don't at all. Actually,
so you don't have an appointed holdback guy by somebody else either.
I don't. Yeah. I do. I actually have a couple of them, but like you said, I just don't listen to
them. It's not, if you don't want to listen, you're not going to listen.
Yeah, that's the deal. Once I get to that level, it's kind of like, okay. I got that look in my eye, and everybody kind of knows not to.
Yeah, I mean, you're also like, I wouldn't want to fight you.
Man.
Not because you talk about fighting, because you're just a big, strong guy. That sucks.
Yeah, well,
you get people challenging you just because.
No, usually, I mean, I don't know. It's not. I mean, we don't go out looking for fights.
I didn't say you did, but guys I know that would be like MMA fighters. I won't even say UFC. People like challenge them, because they'd be like, oh,
yeah, that's
let's
ignorant.
Go.
Nah,
that's
hell no,
right?
That's so stupid.
That's
so stupid.
I feel like people be like, oh, Coetzel play football, big star. That doesn't happen at all.
No, not really. It's always pretty much love, man, and. And like I said, man, I can't remember the last time I got to an actual fight with
somebody that wasn't your brother.
Yeah, somebody that I just was some random person. I mean, it's usually, I can't remember, but it was a while back. We'll say that. It was a while back.
I'm not going to mention any names, but I have a friend, a very big country music star, got in a fight at a bar with somebody he didn't know, beat the crap out of the dude, and it was do everything possible to make sure it doesn't get out.
Yeah, for sure.
All layers.
Yeah. We have those too.
Because he beat the crap out of the dude. Yeah. And you got to shut that crap down quick because all of a sudden we get a little money.
It'll go back to that with us as well, though. Like people kind of expect that out of us. And so it's kind of, Ko got into a fight. Oh, who gives a shit? You
know, that's true. Until someone.
Yeah, until like, something
until
serious
someone
happens.
Wants some money. Or they're like my car insurance is higher. Because I'm a public profile, because people will be like, "Oh, that's that dude. Oh, my neck hurts a little more," because they know they could probably get a little more money out of somebody. Yeah, it's a weird reason to have high insurance.
Yeah.
It's a good reason. I'm happy about it.
Yeah, for
it's,
sure.
I wouldn't trade it, but you know, being a, it's like I've watched you kind of have. I don't even know what fame is anymore because it's so fractured, it's so splintered. But I've watched you kind of get famous. Mm-hmm. Has your life changed at all because of the success that you've had? Have you had to alter, like you said, Walmart after dark? Do you make any decisions based on that?
Yeah, I do. And we kind of all do as far as, you know, going out to eat before shows and things like that, you know.
Especially close to the venue.
Yeah.
Like that's
worst.
That's the worst.
And well, you know, we'll be in a Sprinter van. We'll be beating on the window and shit. But, yeah, I have. And it's just little minor ways, though. And my mom gets upset every time I come back home. She always wants me to take her out to dinner. I don't know if it's because she wants to show me off or whatever, but it's usually I'm so tired and I just kind of want to be with the family and hang out, watch movies and stuff. And she's like, you're not going to take me out to dinner? I'm like, Mom, if we go out, it's going to be an ordeal. But she gets it, you know, so it's cool. But,
why do you think people relate to your lyrics so much?
Because they're real and they're raw. And it's something that I think it's stuff that other people are not afraid to say, but just kind of, I don't know, maybe would rather not say for fear of what it would do to their career, maybe.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the Bobbycast.
Do you feel that your lyrics are so raw and real? And I'm going to talk out this question after I say it to you, that sometimes you don't even relate to it anymore because in a different part of your life, your raw and real lyrics were true to you then, but you've gotten older a bit. You've learned things where you can listen back and be like, man, that's so raw and real, but I don't even relate to that anymore.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the February 28th just happened, and that's become... it's just blown out of proportion, you know, and stuff like that. But I mean, I wrote that song whenever I was 22, 23 years old. And now that I'm 31, looking back at it, it's like every night, it's like, damn, we're going to sing this song again. But people come to the show for that song. You know, a lot of people come just to hear that song. So, but songs like that, you know, it's, yeah, I've grown up a little bit and I've gotten a little bit wiser, I'd say. And the songs that I wrote in college and how I was living my life back then are completely different than how I'm living my life now. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's, I don't know.
Still raw and real and true to who that was.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to be a little weird, though, to sing stuff that you don't feel absolutely anymore.
It is.
Dude, your new record, though, what is it? Tell me about that. So what's that, and how has that changed?
It's getting into more relationship, like more raw and real about relationships and and just life, you know, pretty much from what I just said, from growing up in the scene and doing that kind of stuff and making that type of music to now what I'm making, you know, and how my life has changed from that.
Any of these songs, were they borderline? I don't know if I want to share that much. I don't know if I feel like saying it right now. Was there any of that where it's not you? Listen, you're going to say it if you feel it, but maybe you're like, maybe the time isn't right now to.
Yeah, we held back on a little bit of it. There was a couple of lines and songs that we had wrote, and it was like, do we really want to go there? And then we would record them, and then we would come back to them and be like, let's do them for a couple of days. Like, maybe not. Let's hold off on it and just see how everybody takes to this kind of newer sound that we're putting out.
And I think that makes you know less raw and real, but if there are other things that are so important to the record and that could distract from the things that you feel are the most important, absolutely understand going, maybe it ain't the time to you know, admit I love the pound puppies and have a fetish. You know, because that would be what people would attach to and not the message of the real message of a lot of the body of work. And that's even pretty mature to say that as an answer to a question. Because a lot of people go like, nah, man, we give it to you straight.
Yeah.
But you did give it straight, but there's sometimes that you want...
Give it to me straight, but now you're a weirdo. Jesus.
Yeah.
Why?
What's the weirdest thing about having money?
Oh, man. I don't know. Amazon, probably.
Just get whatever you want, click it?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. That's a good question. I've never been asked that before. I paid my phone bill last week. So, I mean, I don't have a shit ton of money. So I still got enough to live on.
No, I'm not going to play that game because I'm not saying you're Bill Gates, but your success now feels to me it's at a level that you haven't had yet. Experience. And I was a trailer park kid, right? So when I started to make money, I didn't have anybody I could talk to about money. Mm-hmm. And then once I started making a lot of money, I didn't have anybody talk to about money on this level, and then I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing with it. Yeah. So there were times where I was like, I don't know what to do. And it's a weird, nobody feels sorry for you. You got money now.
It's good to be able to take care of, like, you know, family members and stuff like that. You know, like, I was talking last night with my publicist, and we were kind of just going over just older things and getting ready for the new record and release and stuff. And we got talking about the house that I grew up in, and there's a picture for it, and she was like, is that really it? I was like, yeah. And I grew up, there was 110 acres, and my grandparents, they were about to, they had a lot of back taxes on it. The bank was about to take it. So being able to come in and buy the family land that's been in our name for over 100 years
is really, really cool. Awesome. You know?
So, I mean, being able to do stuff like that is really awesome. You know, if anybody needs something, it's good to be able to, you know, holler at the accountant and be like, yo.
Yeah, when people ask me a similar question or like, what's the first thing you did? I bought my mom a trailer and a few acres of land. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that. And I wanted to like remove that fear of her losing it constantly. Yeah. And for you to be able to do that at home, like that's like the... it almost doesn't matter what else happens. Man. And things could be happy. You get 10 planes. But still like that moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Relative to everything.
It makes you feel better than damn near anything else. You know, that you're able to do that. You're financially able to do that. And, yeah. That people actually give a shit and enough in your music and stuff for, you know, that's how you got that money, you know?
Do you ever feel a bit of imposter syndrome where you're like, I'm really not as good sometimes as people are like, like you're selling out rooms. Like,
I think all the time, like, yeah, I'm so hard on myself about everything. Like
what specifically are you hard on yourself about that people wouldn't even consider?
Well, just songwriting, vocally, everything. Like I'm a hard ass on myself, like. But I grew up like that. My dad was the same way. He was really hard on me. And nowadays, whenever you know we talk, he's like, I was the way I was, so you wouldn't, you know, have the life that I have. You know,
I mean, boy named Sue type almost.
Yeah, legit. Yeah. And you know, I thank him for that. I'm proud that he did that. And that's how if I have a son or a daughter, that's how I'm going to raise them. You know, I'm going to love them and you know and do everything I can for them. But at the same time. Show them that, you know, you got to keep going. It's not all roses.
I'm surprised I like you.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, Bones, you don't like nobody.
I mostly am indifferent.
Yeah.
There are people I just don't, and there are people I like. And I thought, I don't know if I like Ko. Like, he'll probably be a dude. I'll probably like him. He's fine. And I didn't think I would dislike you.
Yeah.
but I didn't expect to like you because people would have, they would be like, oh, hey, Co. It's, some people have my calendar. Oh. Be like, oh, Co's come over to the house. I'd be like, yeah, do you know him? No, but oof.
Oh, that's the bad part. Like, nobody really knows a lot about me. Everything that they know is through social media or the internet or stories that they've heard. And
No, I like I can just like look at you aside from all the performance stuff. And even when you're talking about buying that land, like you can actually feel like what matters.
Yeah, for sure.
Like at the core, what matters. You ever write a song and cry because of what you wrote?
No. I got a music video back the other day though for a new song, and it made me cry. It was crazy.
Triggered you? Like what? You don't have to say anything you don't want to, but like yeah, what was, about it is what made you
it was
emotional?
We shot the music video back in my hometown. It was just like shots of pictures growing up and my buddy's headstone, and the video. You know, I always go every time I'm back home. I go. And I sit there, I drink a beer with him, I pour a beer out for him, and I sit there, and it was a shot of that, and something clicked, and I was like, oh, I started kind of, my buddy, we were sitting there watching TV, and he was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? You know? And I was like, my bad, dude, I don't know, this really got me, and I sent it to my folks, and they were like, it kind of pulls on the heartstrings a little bit, you know, but I don't think I've ever wrote a song and cried. I'm sure drunkenly cried and just don't remember it, but...
How many phones do you have?
Phones. I only got one phone.
Okay.
Yeah. Why? Is that why you're asking about the phone bill?
I'm just asking a question, Co. I just ask a question and see where it goes.
Yeah, I got one phone.
Yeah, okay. I'm just asking a question. That's all I'm saying. Your name, Co's like your third name, huh?
Yeah, I got three names.
I forget what it was, but it's like...
I was nameless for 3 days, dude. I didn't have a name for 3 days.
Go ahead. Because they couldn't decide or they couldn't settle?
Yeah, because they couldn't
settle.
My mom was like super indecisive. My dad's the same way. I'm the most indecisive person in the world. And so my dad always wanted to call me Roper Co. And then whenever they had me, they were like, well, we'll just name him Roper Madison because Madison's my granddad's middle name. And then I don't know what the hell happened. I think they sent me home with just boy on the certificate. And then they were like, my grandma finally chirped up. She was like, well, so-and-so down the road's got three names. You know, why don't Co have three names?
And so that's so what
Roper Madison, Co Wetzel.
Madison, Co Wetzel.
Yeah. I always went by Co, though. Growing up, I always went by Co.
So you were never Roper?
No. My teachers would call me Roper for like the first 2 days of school.
Until they figured out.
Yeah. And then it was like, why are all the kids are calling him Co? So.
Even the spelling of Roper is not R-O-P-E-R. Like they went full Y.
Yeah.
Why is that? Was there a Roper with a Y?
It was the early 90s, dude. I don't know what they were on back then.
Yeah. Did you ever do construction with your dad?
Yeah.
What could you do now that would maybe surprise folks that don't know about you already? Meaning, and I'll give you a second to think about it. I went on and did Running Wild with Bear Grylls on a couple shows, and we went to Norway, and I can skin a deer, and I can gut whatever, because I did that.
Yeah.
But nobody knows me as that, because I don't do it anymore. But it was like we found this rotted goat, and... some of it was out of the water. The rest was frozen. So it's preserved just fine. We're going to eat it. And it was like, no, we got to clean the animal. And I am awkward and, you know, I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm like just odd. But I was like, oh, yeah, no, but take it down. And he's like, wait, like, what is happening?
Like,
I was like, yeah, I did this. I'm good here. What is that for you?
Just like some random ass shit?
Sure. Like if you did construction, you had to learn cement.
I could tie steel, pour concrete.
Could you still
cut a curb? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, tie everything. So I have a construction company in Lubbock.
What do you mean you have it? It's yours?
Yeah, me and my buddy own a construction company in Lubbock, Texas. My pops was Yellow Bush Construction. And my dad, he was kind of going back and forth from construction jobs. He's been in concrete business for like 20 years, and he was just kind of getting upset with it and tired of it. And so my buddy was like, man, why don't we, I already have this company kind of going, why don't you come in with me and your dad can come up here and run it. And so he goes back and forth from Pittsburgh to Lubbock and runs it for me, and it's kind of my gift to him. Like, you know, man, you've done all this for for me growing up, it's time for you to relax and just, you know, watch over it and
There you go again. Like being a good dude.
I'm a giver, dude.
Like
I like to please people.
People get caught up in like the pictures and yeah. But like you're a good dude.
Maybe I'll slow down a little bit and
it's like you have emotions.
I know.
Not just one gear.
No.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things. And financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
Gabe Simon, he told me whenever we were starting the record, I was like, I'm not a very emotional dude. And then after like the first or second write, he was like, you're the most emotional dude I've ever met. I was like, oh.
And I think probably in creating your art, I can definitely hear emotion. I can feel emotion just from what you're singing about, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like as a human, anything that I've consumed that you've done, social media, anything, which is why people are like, oh, I don't know about that, dude. It's not like you're pouring your heart out talking,
I'm just doing a selfie video,
yeah, no. You know, about how tough the morning's been.
Yeah.
It's your soap opera, you know, ended in a way you didn't like.
Yeah.
So, but you know, that's, again, I didn't expect to like you. It's crazy. You believe in aliens?
Fuck yeah, absolutely.
What version?
What do you mean?
Well, there could be aliens from another planet. There could be different frequencies that we
just I've watched all the Men in Black, so I know like all the so
those are like little green men.
Yeah.
You ever see anything you can't explain?
I've seen ghosts before. I've seen I've seen the death angel before. That was really weird.
I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, so my uncle had cancer, right? And it was kind of getting towards the end of that. And they had him, what is it? Is it hospice?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and so the night before he passed away, we were sitting in the living room, and there was a hallway and a doorway, and I kept seeing, like, this figure come out, and it's, like, really weird. And all of a sudden, the light just poof, gets really bright and shatters. I was like, what the hell? And so we didn't think anything of it. And I kept seeing that, so I was like, yo, where's Grandma at? And they're like, she's in the kitchen. I said, well, who's in the hallway? They were like, what are you talking about? Just freaking everybody out. So night goes on, and me and my dad are walking to the truck. He goes, what did you see? And I told him, he goes, I didn't want to freak anybody out, but I saw a shadow and an image of a person walk in and out of that room like two or three times. And he said, I just didn't say anything. I didn't want to freak anybody out. And next morning, my uncle passed away. And so we called it the death angel coming to get him.
And I think had you told me that story 5 years ago, I'd have been like, I don't know, man. Maybe you had you had anything to drink.
Yeah.
I think I've just now started to allow myself because I nor anybody else can prove that you're not telling the truth.
Right? Yeah,
there's just no way to prove you're not telling the truth.
Yeah.
However, I have a friend who's got a cousin, and she doesn't say she's psychic. It's not like I can predict the score of a football game, or. Mm-hmm. But there are people with certain talents, even like discernment, even toward like I have friends that are great at telling if somebody's a liar.
No,
and like that's some sort of skill they have. It's something they've developed, and so. And we were talking to a girl yesterday who's an artist, but she's like, you know, I feel like I can see like aura. And I'd be like, you're so full of crap. But why would I say you're full? I can't tell she's lying. And two, people are able to do some things other people just can't do and understand.
No.
And so I've started to kind of go, maybe there's some stuff happening that's way larger than I am, even around me.
Yeah.
And so when I'm like aliens, it's like a ghost, for example, could be another dimension. This is totally weird, right? Totally weird.
Yeah.
But it could be like an alien, but that's just from another here. It's here, but we can't see them unless they actually cross over and have to go and like your uncle's sick. So that stuff really
is. Whenever you really start thinking about it, it keeps getting crazier and crazier because it's so everything's so vast, you know, and so big. So it's like, I don't know, man. But aliens, like little green men we're talking about? Absolutely. Whatever,
it doesn't have to be little green men.
Those things are definitely
there. Especially whenever you find out that we are basically one grain, our universe, not even our planet.
Yeah.
Our universe is one grain of sand on a massive beach. Like, you're telling me all the other sand, there ain't nothing
happening. Didn't the government come out?
Yeah, UAPs.
Yeah.
So they're starting to slow release this stuff. Like, I guess we'll let you know. We can't explain this. We can't explain. Yes.
Yeah, y'all have known about it forever.
Yes. And there, I get on TikTok sometimes, and I'm that alien guy.
Oh, dude.
I'm not anti-alien guy now. I'm not out on a street corner going, they're coming for us. I'm not known as alien guy, but
repent.
I will get on TikTok and I'll go down some of these rabbit holes with like these scientists and Air Force, former Air heads that have
they've been flying around.
Yes. And they're like, I know what I've seen, and it's unlike anything that I've ever supposed to have seen. And people say I'm crazy, but it's not. This is what's happened. And had they been talking about anything else, we believe them. But because it's like something we can't explain, they're like, nah, that guy's crazy. Yeah. All they do is run in the freaking Air Force, like an entire military branch.
It's out there, man. They're definitely here.
You get a lot of places sending you free guitars.
Free guitars?
Yeah.
I think I've only been given like two or three free guitars. And it's been like Dean's or Indiana's or something.
What do people want you to do for them? Like, what's the most requested thing that people are like, we'd like for Co to play? It's obviously not guitars.
Yeah.
What would it be?
Like, instrument-wise? Or just...
It could be any kind of indoor. It could be freaking beer. It could be shoes. It could be a guitar, an instrument. Like, what?
Pretty much anything that you can think of. Like, fishing gear. Okay. I got, like, a trolling motor and some shit put on my boat the other day. Like, we'll knock the price down a little bit if you just post about this. Or do a video for us, you know, like we got this new fishing pole. Shout out Fun and Son in Hearst, Texas. That wasn't a plug, by the way, either.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, like stuff like that.
Do you ever feel like you don't want to say yes because then you feel like you'll owe them and they'll never like?
Yeah, I don't like to take a whole lot of free stuff just because I don't when I feel like I owe them something. You know?
It's bizarre because we always want all the free stuff until we get to the point where then we start to get it. And we're like, I don't want it anymore because they're just going to think I owe them the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, you got this, all this music about to come out. I don't know. Are you going to be different to some people in their eyes by what you're about to tell us about who you are? And not completely, but are you about to do some stuff musically, sonically even, where
yes.
they're going to feel differently about you?
Yeah. I don't know about feel differently about me. I think they'll accept kind of where my music's going, because I've said from day one, like, I want to be diverse as hell. I don't want to be that artist that, you know, and nothing against artists that have the same sound for 30 years, but I don't want to be that guy. And so I've always took chances with sounds and different genres, try to blend other genres. So, yeah, I think that's what's coming with this new record. I think people are going to accept it, especially my fans, you know. I'm sure that there are going to be some of the diehards that are pretty pissed off at what it is, but for the most part, I think they're going to be all right with it.
Is it all done, mixed? I mean,
No, actually, I just got some of the mixes in today. It's not completely done, but...
Have you heard any of the songs where you're like, man, that this we've I know we spent a bunch of time on it, we tracked it, we mixed it, it's just not where it is, let's just start it over?
No, I haven't.
Really? Good.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we talked about, is how crazy it was for us to go in and write and cut these songs so quick, you know, especially after just meeting one another, you know, me and Gabe Simon and Amy Allen, Sam Harris. So it was really cool to go in there that fast and make music like that and put it out.
I know you haven't been on the, you say you have a bit of cabin fever, right? Before you get to go back out and just mm-hmm. do a lot of shows. Have you been playing at all? And have you played any new stuff out?
I mean, besides like deer camp, campfires and shit.
But nowhere where people could buy tickets and record it. Mm-hmm. Are you putting it out new stuff yet? Have you just playing? Or have you in the past and before you decided to actually cut the song? Is there anything mm-hmm. out like a work to, no? All right. You don't even want to tell me if there was.
No, I would.
I know. I figured you would. That's all right. That's all right. Well, look, yeah, I enjoyed this. I don't know how you felt before you came over here, what you're about to get into, because I never know how people feel about me, nor do I really care.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like once they're here, it'll either be good or it'll be fine. Yeah. It's never going to be bad.
Yeah.
Because everybody's professionals. How did you feel about coming over here to do this?
Honestly, this is probably like the first interview that I've done in 2 years. I don't really do interviews.
There was nothing for me to see, like, because I'm looking.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go to the same places other people have been.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was almost nothing of recent memory.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you do it. By the way,
absolutely,
I appreciate
you for having me
coming and doing that.
Having me to be honest with you, I was kind of sweating it a little bit just because I haven't done one in so long. And
so it's more about you than me being a douchebag.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't worried about you being a douchebag. If you'd have been a douchebag, I'd have said fuck off and left. So.
And the opposite. Here's a story. I almost don't like telling this story anymore. Okay. There's a certain person. I'm like, I'll tell you who it is off here. And some of my old school people will know who it is. There was an interview I was doing. She was getting a little test. I shouldn't have said she. The person was getting a little testy, and I've been known to just pop off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a nice guy, I'm a caring guy, but I'm also, I have a quick trigger at times, super competitive, and I just, if we're both working towards something, you're disrespectful, just go.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tolerate it. And she was being quite disrespectful in the interview, and she had a book, and then I just asked her a question from her book, mm-hmm. and it was, hey, XYZ, she said, I don't know why you'd ask me that, you'll never be me. So she said to me, you'll never be me.
On your show, while you're alive?
Live.
Oh, no.
So here I am. And I go, you know what? I don't want to be you. You need to leave.
Yeah.
On the air. So I told her she must leave the studio. Yeah. Not the first person I've kicked out live, but I definitely, it's not my favorite thing to do. Because we're coming to accomplish something. Be compelling so people will listen to me and then check out your music.
Understand.
Yes. Yeah. So she was terrible. And her person was waiting for me outside the building to beat me up, like her husband. And that was bizarre for me. And I didn't like it, but I was proud that I was just like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Because, Like, that's not a vibe I want to put out.
Well, I mean, you get as much respect as you give. Yeah, you know?
But I also feel like I would do it now, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, in the same way. Or I'd have Mike do it. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah. Mike, yeah, take him out of here. Well, look, congratulations on all your success, man.
Appreciate it.
You've done it the hard way.
Yeah.
And that's extremely respectable.
Thank you.
And just don't get hurt.
No, we're gonna be good. Don't worry about it.
You're not. Just don't be so bad.
No,
like, you're not gonna be good.
No, I'm never gonna be.
You're gonna be like a homeschool kid going to college. But as soon as you get back out on the road, it's like we're bad. Let's go crazy. Just don't.
Next time I see you, I just got like a half leg or something.
You almost had that today. You're like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'll be. I got a lot of good people around me, man.
Good. Yeah. Good. I appreciate your time, and I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
Now I am.
I'm glad, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I wasn't not rooting for you. I was just like, who cares?
I'm going to get a call from him or something. He's going to be like, man, this music's bullshit. What the hell are you even talking about?
All right. So, everybody, so you can follow Ko. It's in our notes. It's on the notes of here. You can see it, but it's KOE_Wetzel and Ko Wetzel Music. What was the Morgan shows? How were they? Have you done them yet? Any Morgan?
No, this summer.
That's coming up?
Yeah, summer.
Okay. Because I saw that. On an image, I saw you. It was like Morgan Wallen. I didn't follow up. I didn't read the body. I just saw the image. So you're going out with him.
I think we're just doing one show, right? AT&T Stadium and
Dallas?
Capital Stadium. Yeah,
that's a home.
That's gonna be crazy. That's gonna be a highlight for me.
That's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be really cool.
Well, great to meet you.
Yeah, great to meet you.
And I don't know. Maybe I should drink. That's what I feel. Mike, I leave this. I'm like, you don't know, man. It sounds good.
Hey, I had a couple cocktails before I came over. I ain't gonna lie.
What is your non-beer drink of choice?
Right now, it's vodka soda. Usually, it's like an old-fashioned.
I don't know what that is.
Like a bourbon.
Whiskey.
Yeah, like a whiskey soda.
Do you have a palate enough to tell a expensive bourbon?
100%.
You do?
I'm a big bourbon guy.
Are you a bit of a snob in that area?
No, I'm not a snob.
You'll drink?
Yeah, I'll drink alcohol. Just
straight up.
Yeah, alcohol is alcohol. So.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. Good luck.
Man, thank you so much.
Ko Wetzel, everybody.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.